Father, we do thank you. Lord, there's such a smile in my face and our faces as we go before your throne that you're just waiting to hear from us. This incredible relationship we have with you. And Lord, truly, what can we give the King of Kings but our hearts? Everything, Lord. It's like a man once said, Lord, put the plate lower so I can jump in it because I am what I'm offering the Lord, myself, my life. And Lord, that is our desire, just to follow you. You are so good to us. Thank you for opening up those doors that any one of us can come before you at any time of the day. Just waiting to hear from us. May you just bless your word, the teaching of your word, by the power of your spirit, my Lord Jesus, and we ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. If you're new, if you're here for the first time, it's happy to have you. If you got greeted with a hug, don't get weirded out. It's sort of what we do. We love you. Sometimes I think we do that on purpose. You know, so if you're real serious, you know, we'll go give you a hug and it's okay. We love you. We are starting our study in Luke chapter 11. Continuing our study in Luke chapter 11. If you weren't with us last week, of course, we finished up chapter 10. And it was such a sweet portion of scripture. All scripture is great, isn't it? It's just amazing how we can just, it just unfolds and unfolds before our eyes, and it just really just ministers to our hearts. But this section here, I mean, there's so many books written about Martha and Mary having a merry heart and so forth. You got, ladies, you know, there's so many books, but it's so sweet because Jesus simplifies it. He says, hey, there's a time to work, and there's a time to worship. And working is good. Worship is great. And what did he tell Martha? He said, hey, Martha, he says, look, Mary has chosen the better thing, and it will not be taken away from her. And listen, that is, when we come before our Lord and worship is such an amazing time. We get renewed, refreshed, and then the Lord sends us out into the world, into life. And it's tiring, and we go through it again, and then we come back again, and we go before the Lord, and we get refreshed and renewed, and once again, and so forth and so on, and the Lord sustains us. Amen? All right, well, if you haven't opened up your Bibles yet to Luke chapter 11, we're going to get started there with our text. Luke chapter 11, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Now, it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to do miracles. No, right? I'm glad. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You may be seated. Prayer. Do you know that prayer is such an incredible privilege that God has given to us? It is an amazing thing. And what we see in Scripture is we see that Jesus prayed. We see him praying all over the place. We see him before the start of his ministry, during and so forth. At the very end, at the garden, at the cross, he is praying. And if Jesus prayed, I think we should pray. We see the apostles praying. We see the Old Testament saints praying. Always praying. And here are these disciples that have been following the Lord. And listen, this is coming to the end of the ministry here, to the end of his earthly ministry. He's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. And they have seen something in Jesus' life that's special, that's so special. They saw something in John the Baptist's life that was special. And he said, this disciple, whomever he is, one of them said, Lord, teach us to pray. And uses John as an example, as John also taught his disciples. Why? That should be like, just explode in our minds. Out of all the things, everything that they observed, this disciple said there was something special in the way that John prayed, in the relationship that he had with God, that he had with you. And prayer is the heart of our relationship with Jesus, with our Father. So this disciple says, teach us to pray. Now, if it were you or me, what would we say? Lord, you know what? Teach us to do miracles. You see, people like miracles. People want to see all this stuff and everything. And if they see the miracles, oh, Lord, your gospel is going to go out powerfully. Teach us to do this. Teach us to preach, Lord. I need to be able to expound your word to God's people, to your people. Teach us how to teach your word. There's many things we could have said, but he said, teach us to pray. Why? Because that's central to everything. Listen, in discipleship and walking with the Lord, as we come with the Lord, somebody that wants to, they feel called to the ministry, the first place where that person should be is in prayer. Not only their personal prayer, but corporate prayer in church. Because from prayer, God gives us direction. God speaks to us. It is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. We see God move. We see God move in prayer. And this church has seen that last year with so many things. We see that all the time. We see God move powerfully. So this disciple says, teach us to pray because it's essential. That's the beginning. That's where we start. That's where everything begins in a relationship. But notice what our Lord says. And I'm going to tell you right now, I will not finish up these four verses. Okay? Just so you know ahead of time. We're going to do this a two-parter, I believe, possibly. Verse 2 says, so he said to them, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray, think about praying. Maybe. It'll be good for you. He says, when you pray, we're called to pray. How does that look in your life and in my life? Paul says, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means I have a constant connection to my Father throughout the day. Sometimes throughout the day, I'm like, Lord, I'm frustrated in Costco. Lord, can you find me a parking space, please? And lo and behold, there's a parking space there. But Lord, help me not to kill that person. No, just kidding. You guys been to Costco? We pray. It could be flare prayers. It could be long prayers. It could be just deep prayers. There's those times in our lives where we're hurting and we're like, Lord, we need you. Lord, hear me. And he does. And there's times in our lives where it's just, Lord, I got a test. Help. Little or big, pray when you pray. And then take a look at what Jesus says. Now, this to us doesn't seem like a big thing, but it's huge. He says, our Father in heaven. Now, just want to point out that this prayer, example of a prayer, this model prayer is very similar to Matthew 6 when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, he actually said to the disciples at that point, he says that when they pray, not to be like the heathens, that they use vain repetition and use many words that they think they'll be heard because of many words. In other words, when he said that in chapter 6 of Matthew, he says it here in the same manner. He's saying, look, don't be repetitive. Don't continue saying the same thing over and over and over again because it has no meaning. The Jewish people, the Jewish religion, they did this. There's a lot of reciting of scripture or of prayers. They do this. There's other religions that do that, right? But this is applicable to them because to them this is a shock. Don't do this, he says. Look, God doesn't have robots. I don't have my kids or grandkids, and they say, oh, Heavenly Father, oh, so-and-so, and do the same thing over and over. That would be silly. It's a relationship, just like I have with my kids, my grandkids, with one another. There is this incredible relationship that God has given us privilege to. So he says, when you pray, pray our Father. There is nowhere in the Old Testament that you see the Old Testament saints as they pray, and there's beautiful prayers, powerful prayers. You see long prayers, you see short prayers, you see just these men of God, they don't call God their Father. You don't see him referred as Father, God, Lord. And you see the main name of God throughout and so forth. But this is something new. This is new because Jesus came and made this available for you and me. You remember in the Old Testament that in the temple, there was the holiest of holy, right? You see the temple, and there was different chambers outside the court of the Gentiles and the women, and then the sacrifice and then the showbread. And then right before you enter the holiest of holy, there's this place of burning incense, and it's wonderful. And go back to 1 Kings chapter 5 and 6 and take a look at that there on this construction of the temple. Beautiful, incredible, right? And they would go in. Now, who would go in there? The high priest, and he would be appointed for life. One person was able to go in there once a year to make an offering, to hear from the Lord. There was a veil that was 18 inches thick, and it went up all the way to the ceiling, and that separated people. The only one that could go in there is the priest. And it said that they used to tie a rope around his leg, and they used to wear those little bells on their robes and so forth, because if they had not purified themselves, they could drop dead and they would pull them out. Going before the holiest of holy. It was a different understanding, different relationship. And he says that's no longer the case through Jesus. Through Jesus, we have full access to the Father. Full access to the Father. Don't use vain repetition, because what is that? It's meaningless. So he gives us a model. And when we hear our Father, that should put a smile on our face, should it not? I mean, it does for me when it says, my Father? And for some of us, listen, for some of us, maybe our fathers weren't that great. Maybe we have in our mind something not very good. You know, and a lot of times we relate our human relationships to God, which is that should never be the case. Our Heavenly Father is perfect, is gracious, loving, compassionate. But here, when we say our Father, man, there should be such a smile in our face. And that word Father is Abba. It is Papa. It is Daddy. Dads, have you heard that before? When your baby says, hey, Daddy, or Papa, my grandkids call me that, Papa, you know? And it's so sweet, isn't it? So sweet. There's that relationship. It's incredible. Now, Mark 14:36 says, Jesus said, notice how he prays, Abba, Father, in the same manner. He calls his Father, Abba, Father. He says, you and I, we can do the same thing. All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. The point here in this verse is that he calls him Abba, Father. On Resurrection Sunday, Jesus said to Mary, as she was clinging to him and hugging him, he says, go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. And to my God and your God. Romans 18:15, there Paul writes, he says, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit, listen, of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Man, we only scratch the surface of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's a relationship. John 1:12, in it, Jesus said, but as many, the word of God says, but as many as received him, To them, he gave the right to become children of God. Notice, now who are the children of God? Because this question often comes up, right? Especially those that have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those that don't know God, those that don't have a relationship with God, but know of God. Oftentimes it says, well, we're all children of God is the statement, general statement. That's not what the Bible teaches. We're all his creation. Notice what it says. He says, but as many as received them, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're born again into the family of God. A royal family, an eternal family. Amazing. It's a relationship that he has opened to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And you know what the price is for this relationship? The cross. The cross is the price. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus says, I'll pay those wages at the cross because I love them so much that put their account on me, Dad, he says. Put their account on me to sin. And then all the sins of humanity are poured down upon our Lord and Savior at the cross to the point where the Father turns away and the Son says, my God, why have you forsaken me? The only separation in all of eternity where their eyes don't, they're not in that same fellowship, if you will, because all the sins, your sins, my sins, are poured upon him. Think about that. Think about the sins in your life. The older we get, the more we can go back. And you can think about all those sins and those weights that you can carry that are heavy, they're burdens, they're, that's just one person. The sins of the world, past, present, future, all that poured upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that was a cost. But he did it gladly in order for us to have this incredible relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, listen, just Jesus changed everything. Everything. Let that sink in. Jesus changed everything for all eternity. He kicked down the doors of separation. He ripped the veil in two from top to bottom. You recall, as he was on the cross, it says that there was an earthquake in that place, the holiest of holy. That curtain that was 18 inches thick that separated those rooms, the Bible says that it was torn from the top to the bottom. The hand of God saying, it's open, it's available. And the author of Hebrews writes this. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. To the throne of grace. How incredible is that? Lord, I messed up. I'm a sin. Lord, forgive me. I'm a knucklehead. I've been carrying this. Lord, I can't kick this thing. Lord, I failed again. And my daddy, my papa says, hey, come in to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Church, do you have a need? Do we have a need? Day by day, there is a need. And he says, come to me. Come to me. So Jesus says, when you pray, say our Father, our Dad. Incredible. But since we're here in regards to this model prayer that Jesus says, pray our Father, I want to also touch up on another topic, another question that often is asked. The question is always asked, well, can I pray to Jesus? Can I pray to the Holy Spirit? And that's a valid question. Listen, this is the triune God, three in one, one God, the very beginning, God Almighty. What we see is Lord, capital L, capital O-R-D, and what that in the very first sentence of the Bible, that is a plural form of God, that triune God, one God in three persons. It's incredible, but it is a valid question. And what is the answer? Well, what does our Bible say in regards to this? What we do see through the New Testament is that the apostles pray to Jesus often. And not only the apostles did they pray to Jesus, Jesus himself said that it's okay that we can pray to him. So oftentimes we say, Father, oh, my Lord Jesus, it's okay. And John 14, 13, Jesus said, he says, and whatever you ask in my name, in his likeness, in his character, in who he is, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He says it again. We can pray to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, we see there, you may be familiar with this portion of scriptures, an awesome portion where Paul says he's recounting for us the fact that he had this thorn on his side, is how he describes it, his sickness, whatever it may be, that he suffered for a long time. And he said that he went to the Lord. Three times, he says, he asked him to remove this thorn from his flesh. And in it, he says that the Lord Jesus, okay, he responded to him in his prayer in this manner. And he says, in verse 9, it says, and he said to me, my grace, Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, then Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In 1 Corinthians 16 and Revelation 22, we see that the end of the prayer that both Paul and both John, they pray at the very end by saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha. And boy, we want the Lord to come, don't we? We are waiting for that day. So yes, we can pray to Jesus. The answer is yes, scriptures teaches us to pray to Jesus as well. So the next question is, can we pray to the Holy Spirit? We don't see it in scripture. We just simply don't see it. I've looked, I researched it, I've gone all over the place. Now, this is not to say that it's wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit. I'm saying we don't see it in scripture. Okay, because there is one God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what we do see is that we see that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that could take a very long time to go through. If you want to see part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, go to John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And Jesus describes some of that there. But in John 15, 26, Jesus says, but when the Helper, or the Holy Spirit, one of his names, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. In other words, the Holy Spirit will point to Jesus, always to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come and testify. And in another verse, in chapter 16, verse 14 of John as well, he says, he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He points to Jesus. Romans 8:26, in it, Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we pray, have you ever reached, when you're praying, have you ever encountered, you're like, Lord, I just don't have the words. My inner self, my mind, my heart, my spirit, I can't express this. I can't even, and sometimes we don't even know what to pray. Maybe so many things are going on and we don't know what to pray. So there, Paul, the word of God says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. Notice, he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, things too deep for words. He makes intercession for us. And it goes on to say that he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Why? Because he is God. Look, is it wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit? I don't believe so. I don't. But scripture doesn't, we don't see that example in scripture. But he is God. But here's where we can go really sideways with this. That there are some that they just pray to the Holy Spirit. And they get into, whether it's intentional or not, whatever, you see that everything is about the Holy Spirit. And their prayers is all about the Holy Spirit. And then you start seeing things start getting weird. You start seeing that they're asking for this. Look, there's nothing wrong. The Bible says, Jesus says, hey, and we're going to read that next week. Well, probably 2 weeks from now. But he says that our Father is going to, look, we ask and he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. Now, as a believer, please make no mistake. We know this. We're Christians. We understand that when we came to know the Lord, he sealed us with his Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. But we also see in Scripture that he fills us afresh. He fills us in the power of the Holy Spirit and so forth. But is it wrong? No. But listen, when they start going down that line, it gets weird. I've seen it, I've heard it, and everything is about the Holy Spirit. And it starts saying things and attributing things that are going on to the Holy Spirit, which are not of the Holy Spirit, nor are they scriptural. And that is a danger. Now, the wonderful thing is that in prayer, all are involved, right? There's one God. And it's amazing because what do? We pray to our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's directed by the Holy Spirit. They're all involved. It's an amazing thing. So I hope I confused you enough. Yeah, you know, so for me, I stick to those things that the Bible teaches. Some of these things I don't understand completely. You know, I really, I'm like, okay, here, they don't give us examples of that. And I say that loosely, right? So I don't know why. But I am comfortable not knowing why in that aspect. Because I trust my God. And one day when we get to heaven, perfect theology, guys. No denominations, no this, no I'm from Paul, from Cephas, and so forth. None of that stuff. We'll have perfect theology. Amen? So now we move on from our Father in heaven to hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. That word hallow means holy, to separate, set apart, to reverence. It's His name, we are to be held in awe and in wonder of his name, hallowed. In other words, worship, relationship. Now we move to worship. His name is holy. It's pure. It's clean. It's not a curse word because his name is used as a curse word often. And listen, God's name is holy. And Jesus says we need to reverence his name. We need to hold it, esteem it, separate it in our hearts. His name is hallowed. You can't turn on a show without his name being blasphemed. You can't turn on, I mean, it just, you know, and it's a sad thing. Now, the Lord said, forgive them for they know not what they do. But it's a different thing when we know, right? When we know. And God says, don't do that. You're my kids. I love you. His name is holy. The Jews, their scribes, as they would copy books from the Bibles onto the scrolls, every time that they came to the name of God, they would stop and they would go out and bathe themselves in a ritual manner to purify themselves before they even wrote down the name of God. Every time. Because his name is so revered, is so amazing. Set apart, holy. In Leviticus 10:3, the Bible says, God says, he said to Moses, this is after Aaron's son offered unholy fire. And really, that whole portion of Scripture, you can look at it. It's possible that they had been drinking and so forth. They made an offering. It gives that sort of idea. They were doing things on their own. And they were treating God as a common thing. And God says to Moses, hey, tell him, tell Aaron, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. Listen, do we come near to our Lord? Oh, he is near. He is in us. Man, we come before him. And he says, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. We want to glorify the name of Jesus. We don't want a name of our Father. We don't want to blaspheme it, blaspheme his name. The psalmist writes, oh, Lord, our Lord. First Lord, all capital. Second Lord, capital L, lower case. How excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. This is our God. Let me give you a poor example. We know, we understand what we're saying here, what God's word is saying here. Would you use your precious wife's name in vain, or your precious husband's name in vain, or your precious mom's name in vain, and just use it as a curse word? And God is so much greater. In Psalm 72, the psalmist writes, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Psalms 34:3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and they let us exalt his name together. How amazing is that? Turn with me to Exodus 34 for just a minute here. I want us to read something, because when we talk about God's name, we see many names in the Bible. Many names. And all these names are a description of his character, of who he is. And this is a good example. This is what God says in regards to his name, to his character. God's name is a sum total of who he is, and he is holy. So turn to Exodus 34, verse 4 through 7. Moses had asked to see God's glory. And in it, God says that he's going to go ahead and declare his name to him. That's the answer. You want to see God's glory? He says, I'm going to declare my name to you. So you can read that whole portion from chapter 33 to 34, but in verse 4, we'll start there just to get a little bit of that context. It says, so he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now listen, verse 5. Now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. What we see here is the Lord declaring his character in his name. It's amazing. And we can look up God's name in the Bible, right? So many names that we could look up and we see his character in it. Elohim, first name that we see in the Bible, mentioned in Genesis 1:1, the plural form of his name. Jehovah or Yahweh, self-existent or eternal one. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, Lord who heals. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. All these are characteristics of my God, of my Lord. So Jesus says, when we pray, we are to hallow his name. Amen? Listen, maybe you're here today and this is just a lot of information for you. And it may not make sense. The difference that Jesus provides here for our prayers, this relationship, this new incredible relationship that we have with our God. If you're here and don't understand these things, and maybe you have not received the Lord as your Lord and Savior, he offers that to you. And let me tell you, your life will never be the same. Before you know the Lord, you know that there is a God. And you know, atheists, right? They say, no God. But someone once said, there's no atheist in a foxhole. When your life is threatened, it's, oh God, there is a God. There is a God, and his name is great. And he offers this incredible personal relationship with us. Before we know the Lord, we only seek him out when we're in trouble. But when we know the Lord, we have a personal relationship. I mean, we talk with him all day. We see Nehemiah flare prayers. We see through all the scriptures. And by the way, and we're gonna, as we go through this is a short prayer, four verses, right? Short prayer. And in it, it's packed with so much. But Jesus says, in this manner, this example, this is how you should pray as you identify this relationship that you have. Worship his name, who he is. And he goes on as he says, his kingdom come. And then he talks about he's our provider. And all these different relationships that as we go through the prayer. And it is an amazing thing. And that is available when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But that is, I'm showing you the benefits and all these things. But you know, the greatest benefits is that a person that does not know the Lord, they're going to hell. That's what the Bible says. And that's not God sending people to hell. God is always reaching out. He says, my hand is not heavy that it cannot save. Too short, I'm sorry, that it cannot save. And he's always extending his love, his grace, using people, saying, come to me, come to me. Once we receive him, all of a sudden everything changes. We pray and we're like, oh, wow, God answered prayer. Yes. He does. Amen? Speaking of prayer, will you pray with me? Lord God, we just thank you. You are so good. You're so gracious. You're so loving. You're so compassionate. We just love you, Lord. Thank you that you answer prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you're such a close relationship. You're our daddy. You're our papa. Lord, oh, we just don't know what that means, Lord. We just don't know. Show us. Show us, Lord. Help us in our understanding. So grateful, Lord, that you make this relationship available to us. And we love you. And I just pray for all those that are here, Lord, that you would just bless them. That your hand, Lord, would be upon them. That as they go out to their workplaces, as they leave this place, Lord, that they would be meditating on your name, your character, on who you are, that you would protect them, that you would keep them, that you will pour out blessings upon their lives and their families. Lord, and I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you, that today they would make a decision to receive you, not to walk out the same way they may have come in, but walk out light, all the sins done away with, all the heaviness, all that guilt, that conscience that doesn't leave that person alone, that comes at nighttime and the daytime, and all those things just removed because you paid for it, because we're washed by your blood. We're made clean, new, born again, a new life, a new beginning. So we thank you. We praise you. In my Lord Jesus' name, amen. You're here today.